Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now tonight on RTÉ1 television, the final of a three-part series goes out. It's called Crimes and Confessions, The Kerry Babies, and reporter Mick Pilo joins me now. Mick, you're very welcome to the programme again.
Claire.
So this is the culmination of the three events linked by the teams of Gardaí who investigated all of these incidents, and the Kerry Babies case, I would say it's one of the most high-profile unsolved cases in this country. But for those who don't remember the exact details, will you go back and give us just a little bit of background to all of this?
Okay, it's 1984, which is well over 30 years ago. A baby was washed up on a strand called White Strand just outside Carrigrohane, and the post-mortem revealed that the baby had been stabbed 28 times. It was only a few weeks, if it was 2 weeks old, I think, around that time. And so the murder squad comes from Dublin to investigate the murder, six detectives from the murder squad. And they quickly zone in on this young woman who was supposedly given, had a miscarriage and was in Tralee General Hospital with a supposed miscarriage. But she, the doctors were saying she went full term and there was no sign of any baby. So they focus on this woman, Joanne Hayes.
80 kilometres away from where the baby was found.
80 kilometres away from where the baby was found. So they basically raid the Hayes family. And they bring them all into Tralee Garda Station. There's five members of the Hayes family. There's an aunt. There's two brothers, a sister, Joanne Hayes, and her mother. And they bring most of them into Tralee Garda Station individually and interrogate them all individually. Joanne Hayes, who worked in the local sports club, basically got visited by two Gardaí that morning. Will you come down to the Garda station for inquiries? Now, John Hayes thought, OK, they found my baby.
She'd had a child.
And so when she got to the station, she told the two detectives, there were two interrogators that were assigned to her. And they were, you know, they were the guys who were with her for about 12 hours. She told them straight up five, six times how she gave birth outside on the farm to a baby. The baby stopped crying. She panicked. She put the baby beside the hay. It was in the middle of the night. It was early morning, but at 1 o'clock in the morning, she basically got into the house secretly, went back to bed, got up fairly early in the next morning and hid the baby on the land. It was dead. She went to work. 2 weeks later, she went to work. And this is the story she kept telling the Gardaí. But of course, they didn't believe her. They basically felt she's not telling the full truth. And so what happened then after that is that, like in all these cases that I've looked at over the three episodes, after a period of time when you've been told now again and again and again, it's a breaking point. She basically does confess to killing the baby that was found on White Strand, which wasn't her baby. She confesses to stabbing that baby.
Yeah, and we have a clip of her speaking in 1984, and here she is talking about why she confessed to that crime that she didn't commit.
While I signed my statement was because they told me they were going to be mum in charge with murder as well and put my little girl into an orphanage. And just said they were going to sell the farmland as well. They came in, they took my statement that they had read out, and I put in little bits and pieces on my own as well.
On the way back to the bedroom, I picked up the white bath brush and I went to the cabinet in the kitchen and picked up the carving knife with the brown timber handle. The baby cried when I hit it, and I stabbed it with the carving knife on the chest and all over the body. I turned the baby over and I also stabbed him in the back. The baby stopped crying after I stabbed it. There was blood everywhere on the bed, and there was also blood on the floor.
We were treated very badly by them. The harassment and the insults were just something else.
We were guilty, like, according to them, and we were being taken in, you know, even though we told them the truth at the time.
Now, that distressing description of the baby's death, that didn't happen. Joanne didn't do that, and it was discovered pretty quickly because her own baby was found on the farm.
Yes, she was charged with murder, for killing the baby, and the family were being charged for concealing a baby. They were charged for concealment of birth. And then Joanne, just before she was being sent to Limerick jail, basically got word to her sister very quickly and said, look, it, I've told them where the baby is, but they haven't found it, or they haven't really looked for it, I don't know. She said, this is where the baby is. Kathleen, who is the last voice you heard there, went out to the farm with her brother, found exactly where the baby was. The Gardaí got the baby. Post-mortem results reveal that baby has the same blood group as Joanne. It is her baby. The other baby didn't have it. So it was very unlikely that the other baby that she apparently confessed to killing was not her baby.
But they still persisted and they tried to put forward this theory of superfecundation, which is that she was the mother of both babies fathered by different men.
Yeah. Now, that is bizarre. I mean, I'm not a gynecologist or a, I have no idea what that, I do know now what that is. It's basically saying a woman who has, produces two eggs that month, that two, she has sex with two men, very close mm-hmm. to,
and gives birth to twins.
And gives birth to twins from the two different fathers.
And then there was another theory that there was a third baby.
Yeah, well, you see, the problem was with that theory, the superfecundation theory, the guards couldn't get anyone to corroborate that. A witness, basically an expert witness. They couldn't get anybody. So they went, well, they have to explain how she confessed to murdering a baby. So they basically come up with a third baby. She gave birth to a baby inside the house, the one you just heard her confessing to. She stabbed that baby in the house and they disposed of the baby in the sea, the two brothers. And that's the theory they came up with, the third baby.
In the middle of all this, and it was mentioned in the documentary, I think, by Vicky Conway, like, you have a woman here who is distressed having lost her child and is having to go through all of this as well. And of course, that was lost in everything, wasn't it, at the time?
And that's why I think the country went up in arms at the time. Also, this young woman who is distressed, distraught, ends up at a tribunal of inquiry and she's basically grilled about her sex life. Mm-hmm. Her private sex life, her life, you know, it's appalling by a group of men.
And the tribunal happened because no charges could be pursued because of what we've just discussed. And so the tribunal was set up to inquire into the behaviour of the Gardaí.
Yeah.
But what actually happened, and if anyone has the time to go back and read Nell's book at the time, Nell McCaffrey's book, it's a short book, but it's so shocking. Joanne was grilled, as you say. She was unwell. She was unable to answer some of the questions. She had to be sedated during the questioning and brought back in and questioned about what she thought this relationship was going to lead to, whether she'd had other partners in the past. It was beyond outrageous.
Yeah, which was absolutely outrageous, because the theory that they had come up with, the superfecundation theory, was dismissed by them, the guards, was dismissed by the DPP. And yet this theory was pursued by counsel for the Gardaí at the tribunal for days, even though it was ruled out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were basically putting her on trial. And that's what Joanne believed. And the extraordinary thing about it, I mean, there was one intervention in the tribunal. I was absolutely shocked. It was day 9 of the tribunal. She got so upset. She could hardly speak. And she was asking, her counsel was saying, could she have a break, judge? Well, if we keep breaking now, we'll be breaking every 5 minutes, he says. And he wouldn't break. And literally, she broke eventually. And so they had to sedate her. They called the doctor up while she was sedated, called for a lunch break. And the doctor then said, you know, after lunch, will she be able to give testimony? And the doctor says, well, I don't think she's capable of doing it. Well, can you come back after lunch and just and let us know how she is? He comes back and he says, the judge says, do you think she'll be able to? I think she might, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, and on they went
again, relentless.
You explored the background to this, going back to the interrogation, and the retired detective inspector, Gerry O'Carroll, he features extensively in this episode. He denies any wrongdoing, although he probably for the first time admits that interrogation practices were sometimes hostile. We'll have a listen to him here, Gerry O'Carroll, explaining why possibly some people may confess while under interrogation.
People confess, I'm not saying it happened in this case, to crimes they didn't commit. Guilt feelings, I don't know. Of course, the interrogation is hostile questioning.
Aggressive.
Of course. I have no problem with that.
Raising voices, shouting, banging tables.
Shouting. that could certainly, it could involve, yeah, maybe banging the table, yeah, of course.
You gave evidence in court, as PJ Brown gave evidence in court, that that never happened.
Where?
In the Kerry Babies case.
I never, didn't I tell you, everyone is different. Jesus Christ, you're not going to be shouting at a little girl and banging tables for Joanne Hayes, for God's sake.
Joanne Hayes, you said you stood by as PJ Brown slapped her twice across the face.
Nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. Joanne Hayes and I got on like a house on fire. I was nice to that girl. I couldn't believe it.
I'm just going back and thinking about what Joanne said earlier in the clip about the threats. Now, she didn't attribute this to Gerry O'Carroll, but the threat to take her child away and to sell the farm. And that's what led to her breaking and signing. So we were talking about the tribunal there. The outcome of the tribunal, what happened?
Extraordinary it was, in the sense that, again, the outcome basically vindicated the Gardaí and called the Hayes family and Joanne Hayes liars.
And that existed on the record for how long?
Right up till 2020, up to last 2 years ago, December, almost, it's only a year ago, really.
Mm-hmm. When the Hayes family got their apology.
And the findings of that tribunal were overturned and they got a Garden State apology. And in a way, that's vindication for them. But fundamentally, what we're doing in terms of our series is saying, okay, compensation, apologies, overturning of tribunals. Yeah, that's not a bad thing. But the Kerrigans got no apology. The Donnellys got no apology. The Salons Four got no apology from the State and Gardaí. And what they want really is justice. You know, and even Pat Mann, the Hayes' solicitor, would say as well on their behalf that, you know, to get to the bottom of this, you really need a state inquiry. And
right.
they all want it.
And because I was going to ask you about that, with the three stories now, this is the final one going out tonight. There's a common ask, isn't there, from all of the people whose lives have been impacted. Everybody's looking for the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, they realise now, like at the beginning, the Kerrigans just and the Donnellys just wanted the cold case unit to look into their case. They realise now that this is bigger than they realise. They know from looking at the Salons case and the Kerry babies. And so they all want a statutory inquiry to look into why it happened, what happened and who's responsible for it, because it does implicate the state and the judiciary in a lot of these cases.
And anyone who has watched the first two episodes and will see tonight as well, the impact of these cases, of these events on these people, it is shattering their whole lives and also the lives of their extended family and their children. They've all been affected by this.
This has gone down through generations. Claire, this is three cases. I've looked at 15, if not 20. So I've spoken to victims from all of those. I've seen people break down after 30, 40 years, saying, I can't go there, Mick. I'm not able to go there. If I go there, it'll kill me. I'll end up back in the psychiatric hospital. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has really damaged people so much that it needs to be looked at to ensure it'll never, ever, ever happen again. And on the thing about the families, and I just want to clear up something, I think... you know, as program makers in the Unalinsky case, we made every effort to include the Linsky family in the making of this program, but they declined to participate. And there are questions. There have been suggestions that we're only telling one side of the story. Well, we can't tell the other side if people are not prepared to tell it. And I think that needs to be clarified.
Mm-hmm. And also tonight with the Kerry Babies case, you've spoken to the Hayes family solicitor, but the Hayes family haven't taken part in this. And, you know, we have to look at this and say, look at how these people's lives have been affected by this. And is it any wonder, really, that people don't want to talk out? I mean, I still remember from the first episode, Martin Conmee saying to you, I feel so stupid for signing the confession. You know, a grown man all these years later blaming himself.
Yes, and I think in a way the privacy of the Hayes family needs to be totally respected. I hope we've done that in our documentary by raising the bigger issues. But in a way, these people's lives have been totally shattered, because it's not just a few rogue Gardaí that operated outside the law. They feel... they have been let down by the whole system. And no matter what, you know, they'll never get total healing. Mm-hmm. You can't come back from this, Claire. I don't know a way. I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but I've seen these people so hurt and damaged. And it's very hard to come back from it.
I feel a public inquiry might go some way.
Absolutely do.
All right, well, Mick, it's on tonight at 9.35 on RT1 Crimes and Confessions, The Kerry Babies. Thank you so much for coming in again to talk to us. We'll take a quick break before the news.